youth handbells falls on daylight savings. So thank you, ladies. We're going to mix things up just a little bit this morning. Typically, I would read scripture and then we would pray together, but it helps, I think, to go directly from the reading into the message. So I'm going to ask if you'll pause as we pray together first. Let's pray. Lord, we are tired. And it's not just our lost hour of sleep. We feel it in our souls. Our spirits are weary. Endless bad news and division and problems. An endless news cycle that keeps it in front of us. The struggles of our days, the challenges of our life. The things we thought would be different. Lord, help us. Renew us. Redeem us. First in this worship service and then in our life, turn our eyes and our hearts and our minds to Christ. Speak to us now your word and in the words that follow it, that we may know your risen Son, and that he may be known through us. In him we pray. Amen. From there we turn to the book of Philippians, two verses that Paul includes near the end of the letter, where in the fourth chapter he writes this: Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord. Friends, that's a great text. One of my favorites. Verse 8 is among my favorites in the New Testament. You know, when it comes to the Bible, I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't already know. It's complicated. It's a big book. There's a lot in it. 66 smaller books. We don't know how many authors. Written over centuries in a different time, a different place, two different languages, very different cultures, tough history, weird names, places that no longer exist, and at times really complicated theological ideas. Sometimes it's just a lot. So it's nice to hit a verse that's simple. Doesn't take a lot of interpretation. Straightforward. Right out of the book. Think about good things. Honorable, noble, admirable things. Fill your mind with them. Not only straightforward, sounds pretty good. Effective. Paul even adds, if you've seen or heard anything good in me, put it into practice. Do that. We love verses like this. Easy to understand. Practical advice on how to live. It seems like it should work. Put your mind right. Keep your mind on good things. Even centuries later, in our language, in our time and place, this makes sense to us. We get this. In fact, we lean into it. This idea has become a cornerstone in psychology, business, sports, parenting, church. The power of positive thinking. Focus on the positive. Stay positive. Have a positive mindset. You control your attitude, the be happy attitudes. Don't worry, be happy. Think good thoughts, manifest good things. Turn that frown upside down. We love this stuff. We eat it up. Just browse the self-help section of Amazon or any bookstore you go to. You're going to see hundreds, maybe thousands of variations on this theme. Stay positive. Important, simple stuff. Easy to understand, and if all the self-help gurus are right, maybe even easy to do. I mean, keep your mind on good stuff. Stay positive. How hard could it be, right? Well, if you want the answer to that question, try this. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, probably feeling your lost hour of sleep, turn on your morning news on the TV, the computer, whatever. Get yourself up and ready. Get through breakfast. Wake up, sleepy kids. Get your day, your meds, your whatever in order. Get out of the house on time if you can. Head off to work or whatever's next. Do the school drop-off. Then start dealing with the people you have to deal with on a Monday. Returning calls, sorting emails, fending off spam, making appointments, paying bills, and all the rest. And every time some frustration, some negative thought tries to enter your brain, anytime you feel some anxiety, some anger, some fear, just tell yourself, be happy. Let me know how it goes. As it turns out, there might be a little more to this being positive business than it would seem. It might not be as easy as it sounds. In fact, it might actually be hard work. Now, my people, the people in my life, be the first to tell you, I'm not always great at this positive mindset. So keep that in your mind. But I want to tell you that as I studied the passage this week, I came to some doubts that stay positive is exactly what Paul has in mind. I don't think that's what he's trying to say. I don't think that's what he meant. The translation stuff here isn't terribly difficult, but let me run through it quickly just so we get the sense of some of Paul's instruction. Finally, he says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, that just literally means without falsehood, beyond error. Whatever is honorable, worthy of honor, whatever deserves respect. How many of our thoughts deserve honor? And how often do we let dishonorable thoughts, undeserving thoughts into our minds or out of our mouths? Think about what is right. And that's an okay translation, but actually the full word is righteous. So not just correct. Correct is hard enough. Now, we all know people who think they're always right. But correct is not the full force of the word here. Righteous. How many of us could claim that our thoughts and the words that grow out of them are righteous? Pure, free from moral stain, without sin. Could we say that of our thoughts? Lovely, a combination of two words, love and towards. It's the only place in the New Testament this word is used. And it means thoughts that point toward love, thoughts that are morally beautiful. Not in appearance, but in character. Admirable, praised for good reason, and excellent, which means virtuous. Finally, praiseworthy, which doesn't mean that which is praised. It means that which should be praised. And having made his way through this wonderful list of wonderful words, Paul says, think on these things. The word think is our word logical. It means to consider carefully, to reflect on. And Paul calls the church, his brothers and sisters in Philippi, to think on these things. Not other things, not lesser things. Paul says, put these things at the center of your thinking. Put these things in your mind. Set your mind, your heart, and your life on things and thoughts that are pure and righteous and true and holy. Still seem easy? For Paul, this isn't simple. For Paul, this isn't shallow, positive thinking. This is work. And if you've ever tried to do this work, you know how hard it is. You know how difficult it is and how much help we need to do it. Years ago, I encountered, I don't even remember where I saw this, I suppose in some book or article somewhere, but it became one of my favorite prayers, and you've probably heard it. Maybe you've even heard it here, but it goes like this. Lord, thank you. It's been a good day, and I've done pretty well. I haven't been angry. I haven't gossiped. I haven't been greedy or ungrateful. I haven't been selfish or short on patience. I haven't let my thoughts wander, and I have guarded my words and my heart from evil. Thank you, Lord. But now, I'm about to get out of bed. And it's going to get tougher. So I could really use your help. Amen. Amen. For Paul, this isn't good advice. This is a battle. A battle over what controls our minds, what divides our minds. Did you know the word anxiety? Our word for feeling fear, for feeling wrapped up, for being tense, literally means a divided mind. Our choice, says Paul, is what's going to lead us. What will we focus on? When Paul says, consider the good, in Colossians he says, set your mind on the things above, he's not giving self-help instructions. He isn't talking about good art and movies and shows and books. So those things are good. I follow an Instagram account called Good News You Missed. And it's great. But it's not what Paul has in mind. When you take that list seriously, you see how high the bar is for Paul. And you begin to suspect he's not talking about the ordinary. And if you follow the thread, it leads to where it always does for Paul, to Jesus Christ. The only thing that fits those criteria, Jesus Christ. Sunsets, kittens, happy memes, they're all great. But on the days that life takes a difficult and unexpected turn amidst daily reports of war and famine and suffering, the days that life is a battle, and some of you know what that battle is like, the hard ground of addiction or divorce or illness or loss or tragedy, the days when you get knocked down so hard you don't even know how to start getting back up, when you encounter that truly tough stuff of life, keep your head up and keep a smile on your face. Just doesn't cut it. It doesn't get it done. I don't think Paul trusts our ability to stay positive. I don't think Paul believes we can simply think good thoughts. What Paul does believe is that Jesus Christ is our hope, and that as we focus on Him, the rest of life gets clearer. We don't need to search out good and go looking for positive news, though we can and we should. But the thing we know is the best thing ever known in the history of creation. And He is right in front of us, with us, and within us. Set your mind on that, and the rest of you will follow. Fill your mind with Christ. Anxiety won't be gone forever, but it won't paralyze you. Focus your spirit on Jesus. Your fear may not disappear, but it will no longer be in charge. Set your course and your mind on the Savior, and the daily bad news of the world isn't going to go away. But its power over us will, because we realize we no longer belong to that world. We belong to Jesus. Friends, positive thinking is great. Optimism is wonderful. Can-do attitude, it's a good thing. But ultimately, those just aren't deep enough to anchor us. Certainly not in life's hardest storms. They can't guide us through the depths of human struggle. For that, we need more. We need a Savior. And the good news Paul knows and wants us to know is that we have one. And as we turn our eyes to focus on Him, as we set our minds on the things of Jesus, the things that are good and pure and noble and righteous, admirable things, not only does it help us endure the seasons of life, it helps us grow towards Him. Because in Him we allow ourselves to be remade, to be transformed, to be more like the one we follow. That's the mind that Paul has in mind. That's the mind we're called to pursue and exhibit, the mind of Christ. Not because we're capable and confident and great at being optimists, though I hope all that's true, but ultimately because God is good and Christ redeems us. And we know that to be true. The truth of Jesus Christ changes how we think, which then changes who we are and how we live. To that, Paul says, put it into practice. Friends, may that be true in us. Amen.